Prior to investing, please read the investment's prospectus carefully. The prospectus contains information about the investment, including the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Orders for the purchase or sale of securities or other investment products cannot be accepted by email. The information contained in this communication is not tax, accounting, or regulatory advice. Please consult your advisor as to any tax, accounting, or legal statements made herein. Subject to applicable law, all electronic communications are monitored, reviewed, and electronically archived and may be subject to review and or disclosure to third parties in certain circumstances. The views and opinions expressed herein do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of SCF Securities, Inc. or any SCF-related entity. Women face many financial decisions throughout their lives. You may be getting married or divorced, changing careers, or getting ready to retire. There are also plans that need to be made for family and loss of a spouse or other loved ones. Welcome to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. Your host is Darlene Gilmore. In our show, we'll give you some proven advice designed to assist you with these financial decisions. Now, here is Darlene.
Good morning, everyone. This is Darlene again. Glad to be back. As you can tell, my voice is still struggling, so I hope you'll bear with me over the next couple of weeks. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of having a vision and mission statement. We all generally look for the mission statement for profits and nonprofits, especially nonprofits when we're thinking about donating to them. And that vision statement helps us to understand if our values are in alignment with their values. And one of the things that we discovered is many individuals do not have vision statements. One way you can tell if there's an issue here is, have you ever had a plan that prepared for you and has never been implemented? You just weren't comfortable. You just didn't know what the next step to take. Did you just sign off on a plan just to stop the process from going on? And there's a lot of noise in the market. We're bombarded with all kinds of information. There's information overload that we tend to develop selective listening in all different areas. So today we'll go into that. I have a guest with me, Heather Carmichael. She's a successful business owner, and she helps companies develop vision statements. And we discovered that she didn't have her own. So we're going to work through that today. Good morning, Heather, and thank you for being here.
Good morning, Darlene. Thanks for having me and helping.
So one of the reasons that we have so much overload in the market is, if you Google wealth planning, for example, there's 9 million results out there. If you Google financial planning, there's 127 million. Too much information can actually freeze us in our steps, actually. So we have an unlimited source of income of information, and all that noise out there is just bombarding us that we really don't know which direction to take. One person says to do this, another person says to do that, and we can't clarify for ourselves what's good for us individually. Have you found that to be a problem?
Absolutely, both business and personally.
So values is a critical component of financial and estate planning, and most financial advisors just jump right into goals. But the values is a way to help you to clarify your goals. A vision statement is really a reflection of what your values are. So your vision statement defines where you want to be in the future. Where am I aiming for? It inspires you to be your best. So it's really about your future. A mission statement is about how you will get where you want to be. Typically, your vision statement is not something that will change over time. Your values don't change. They stay the same. Your mission might change slightly in terms of how you want to get there. So Heather, would you tell us a little bit first about yourself and your business?
Yeah, absolutely. I am proud to live in Austin, Texas, and I've had a company for about 15 years with an amazing business partner. And our company is Kelleher Communications. So as you said, we help companies do this all day long. And we, of course, focus on values, and that helps to make decisions much easier. But until we talked, I never really thought about, I have goals. I do annual goals, and we're really good at helping people grow their businesses. That's what we do.
Great.
But
that's excellent.
Personally, I think I need your help, Darlene.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your personal, because last week I talked about how women really are juggling a lot of balls. So you not only are a business owner, but you're a single mom, right?
Correct.
And so we've got Lily that we want to protect and go forward with. Any other balls you're juggling that you feel?
Own some real estate, love to travel, active in my church. Yeah, you can see a few balls.
Yeah, there's a lot of balls out there.
Yep.
So having your values, a lot of noise. So having your values, Roy Disney once said that when your values are clear, your decisions are easy. And it really helps to know what your values are so that you can make decisions quickly. And actually, that's a time management tool if you want to think about it that way. So Heather has agreed to role play with us to help clarify her visions. The disclaimer, we've already done this once, but Heather thought it would be really beneficial if the audience could hear the process and to help her go through it. There's a tool that I use called the Financial Roadmap, and it's in a book from Bill Bachrach called Values-Based Financial Planning. If any of you want to buy that book, this roadmap is included in the book, and it will discuss how to go through this process that we're about to enter into. And one of the key things that we always ask people when we first meet with them is, what's important about money to you? So Heather, if you'll answer that, what's important about money to you?
Oh, that's a good question. I think my answer is still pretty much the same, which is peace of mind.
Okay.
That ability to sleep well at night, and being a single mom especially, it's just nerve-wracking.
Okay. So it may sound like a silly question, but what's important about having that peace of mind to you?
Better sleep, better health. Being able to take care and help those that I love when they have a problem or a time of crisis, and being able to provide for my daughter.
Okay. So when we focus on that, let's assume you're there, you've got that peace of mind, that better health, and you look back on it, what's important about having accomplished that to you?
I think it'll just be a greater sense of, I don't know, happiness, fulfillment, and maybe as a mom, you never stop worrying, and I'm ready to accept and expect that. But also, I think it helps you when you have that stability, you have a good plan in place, you have milestones, and you're successful at hitting them, like net worth goals, as an example, then we can go have more fun, get more stamps in my passport.
Okay, good. So we talked about stability. That's one thing I think that you just brought out, as well as milestones. So let's assuming that we've got that stability in place, and you can see, wow, I'm getting more stamps on my passport. What's important about having accomplished that to you?
More memories, more pictures, more time with friends and family. And then hopefully at that point, I've scaled my life and my business so that I can accomplish some of my charity goals and contribute more to my village in Austin.
Okay, so your charity goals. What's important about being able to donate to your various charities? What's important about that to you?
Wow. And so right now with a 2-year-old, I'm sort of focused on her, maintaining our current lifestyle, but I love living in Austin, Texas. I am a live music fanatic. This is the live music capital of the world, and we have a lot of aging and elderly musicians. And in a perfect world, I will have the funding and the resources to start a retirement home for musicians. That's my ultimate charity goal, I guess.
Terrific. So that's your ultimate goal. Now, when we talk about visions,
working on 10 years ago, it's in progress, but currently on hiatus.
Okay, so the ultimate goal is be able to set up a retirement home for musicians in Austin.
Absolutely.
So I said that correctly. So for you, if we were to sum it up, then what's important about money to you is, if we develop a strategy or a financial plan that will give you that peace of mind, so to sleep well at night, that'll give you better health, as well as allow you to take care of those that are in your life that's important to you. And you'll have a better sense of happiness and fulfillment, stability, and you'll be able to reach those milestones, have more stamps on your passport, more memories. And you'll be able to ultimately scale your business back so that you reach your charity goal of being able to set up a retirement home for musicians here in Austin. That sums it up? Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Darlene.
Good. So when we're working on vision statements, there's actually going to be, vision statements for various parts of your life. So for Heather, we just covered a couple. I think we covered her family values as well as her financial values and her charitable values. There may be some others out there. For example, I'm sure you have one for your business, for Kelleher & Associates, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so that one you already have in place, and that helps you to define what type of client you want to work with, which direction you want to take your business. Can you see how this will help you with your financial decisions when we're starting to work on the specific goals?
Yes, for example, we love helping all kinds of companies, and for a small entrepreneur startup, we like to have a couple of those pro bono clients, but they certainly would not pay the bills anyway. So we've defined it enough to know that we like stage two companies that are in a more aggressive setting of growth. They've gotten their Series A funding if they went after private money, as an example. And, it helps us also be able to pick and choose the clients we want to work with as well, which tremendously makes one's day happier and better.
That's right. So that's really critical to have that because it helps you to really understand which direction you want to carry your business, as well as which direction personally you want to go in terms of reaching your financial goals. So that's one of the reasons that we really work with clients and really emphasize, let's talk about what's important to you first. One of the issues that we discover is many people want to be in a hurry. And so when you come in and you sit down, you have to be able to take the time to go through this. Even some people want to rush me through this exercise that I went through, and you have to slow them down. What you'll also discover is if there's a couple, the couple now gets clarity about each other of what's important to each other that they may not have even had that discussion before. So we're going to discuss a little bit more with Heather, some of her goals and what she's looking to accomplish now that we have this, but we're going to take a break right now and go to commercial.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534. Are the challenges of economic uncertainty and the pressures of global competition wreaking havoc on your company strategy? To succeed in today's fast-paced, high-tech business landscape, companies must continually adapt while driving innovation and exploiting new opportunities. Listen for Quantum Business Insights with host Olivia Parr-Rood. Our guests will include thought leaders from around the world discussing and exploring the concepts that will move companies forward in these uncertain times. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Game-changing technologies and strategies are transformational, exciting, and disruptive for a reason. They shake up your status quo. They get you thinking about new ways to scale, compete, and grow. They move you in amazing new directions. You're invited to Take Your Coffee Break with Game Changers on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time for our special series on the future of business. Learn how you can become the transformational leader who takes your company across the finish line as you look ahead to the next breakthrough wave of innovation. The Future of Business with Game Changers, presented by SAP on the Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guests today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to darlene@women-b-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about the importance of having a personal mission and vision statement, and our guest is Heather Carmichael from Kelleher Associates. So we are just completed working on the vision statement for her, and I understand we have a guest online. Carrie, a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Hi. I have a question.
Sure.
So how often should we, I mean, especially if things change or if you find out that you're changing too much, or like how often should we go through the process of defining and the vision and then clarifying goals?
As I mentioned earlier, your vision should be pretty much fixed because that's tying into what your values are. So that's a good question. So when you go through the process, again, you may be changing your goals slightly. You may decide that that goal really doesn't tie in with what my vision is or what my values are. So your goals may change and your mission, which is how you're doing things, may change. Your vision should be pretty fixed in terms of what are your values and what's important to you. For example, if family is real important to you, that's not going to change. But your mission and how you're accomplishing that, you know, do we go on vacations together? Do we always make sure we have dinner together? The process itself may change slightly. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Carrie?
Okay.
That makes sense. Okay.
It does.
Thank you so much
for
your question.
It's like my goals, you know what I'm saying? They change
yes.
over time a little bit. And so now that makes a lot more sense to separate them out. You know, like how do you get, I guess, back on track when you get off track, right?
That's right. So the goals actually can change because I think as we mature, we may find that some of those goals don't tie in really to what our values are. And that's why it's critical to have those values in the vision statement because it's our litmus test. It helps us to understand every day and every year when we sit down is, did this really make sense? Did this tie into my values?
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling in.
All righty.
Bye-bye. So one of the things I wanted to talk with Heather is now that you have your vision statement, then the process will help you prioritize your goals. If you were to think right now, Heather, about what your goals are, 3 or 4, how would you prioritize them? Which one would be the most important to you right now?
Oh, I think the million-dollar one, financial stability.
Okay.
Which, you know, like time and money is kind of relative. So it's difficult for me to quantify it because you can always have more.
Okay. So what other than financial stability, what other goals do you have?
Oh, health. My daughter's in preschool and we just constantly get sick. So now we're on probiotics and being super, super proactive about health.
Okay.
That's a big focus for January. And of course, getting out of debt. I think that's sort of become the new American dream, whereas it used to be buying a house. Now people, especially in January, you're trying to get out of debt.
Right, right. So some of the things that you just explained, talked about, I wouldn't consider goals because goals have to be measurable. So getting out of debt is one because you'll clearly know how much money you have in debt and getting out of health is a great goal unless we can identify what that means specifically. I guess not having as many colds or that kind of thing is not something a financial planner could help you with, but it's certainly something you can focus on. And then the financial stability, that needs to be defined. What is financial stability for you? How much is it per month of income or whatever? So when you sit down with your goals, make sure that you're very specific with them and that it's something that you can identify what it is. And at the end of the game, you'll know that you accomplished it. So you will have to sit down and define that a little bit better. Then you want to decide, what are my supporting resources? What's out there to help me reach these goals? So if you thought about that, I think one of the things you would say is you have a partner in the business. So that's a way, that's a supporting resource for you, for your business to become more stable, right?
Absolutely. That makes a huge difference. And sort of another segue, you know, there's that Harvard study that's about 40 years old, and you talked about SMART goals, and they determined that, you know, amongst the same graduates, same socioeconomic classes, even same major and went into similar or same industries and jobs, if they even wrote down goals, period, 30% more successful, 30% more income. If they made specific, measurable, achievable goals and actually date and timestamp them, they were 70% more likely.
That's right. That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that out. We have a caller online, Terry from Alabama. Thanks for calling, Terry. I understand you have a short story you want to share with us.
I do. That really illustrates the importance of visioning. One of our operations manager came to me the other day with a picture of a new house that he bought, and he had a sheet paper in his hand, and that was from a visioning exercise that we did during our annual planning meeting about 2 years ago. He said, I want you to know how valuable this was to me. He said, look at this drawing. And I had had them, as a part of our annual planning meeting, visualize what they wanted, their vision of the future, 4 years out. Well, Eddie drew a picture of a house with dormer windows, a lot big enough to have an RV for grandparents, for parents, you know, off to the side of this, two children out playing. He had one at the time, a barn behind it, and a pond in the back. He said, I just bought that house, Terry. Look at this picture. And he said, because you had us visualize this and draw it on paper as to what we wanted, and then that tied into the business goals that would help him get there. As he achieved business goals, he would also be able to achieve his visual goals. He said, if I hadn't written this down 2 years ago, I know it would not have happened. That's why these things are so important, and how, and what Heather is speaking to with vision statements and making this clear for us is so valuable. If we don't write it down, and if we don't want it, we better not write it down. It makes a difference. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you so much, Terry. I think that's awesome that you sit down and do that with your employees annually. So I hope other people that are out there that are business owners will consider doing that. That's the most valuable tool that you can give to your employees. Have their been great achievements you mentioned just in your business as well, because they want to succeed in the business that helps them achieve their personal goals.
Yes, ma'am.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much, Terry. Heather, one of the other things that we talked about is maybe you need to identify what obstacles would keep you from reaching your goals. And I think you touched on the one about stability of income. Is there any other obstacles that you see out there that could prevent you from reaching your goals?
Oh, that's a great, great question, Darlene. Yeah, so being self-employed, you know very well, income can be very unstable. So here's a good example. You'll walk into a car dealership. They will qualify you for a $500 a month car payment. Okay, and I would walk in there today and qualify for that. And there's no way I could actually afford that. No way. And so
right.
I would ask if I couldn't pay cash for the car, which fortunately I did last time, say, show me everything on your lot less than a $250 a month payment.
So one of the things you have to be careful of as being self-employed is not creating too many fixed income positions or expenses that you would have to make sure you can pay. And if your income doesn't support that, that's a danger point.
Right. Or when income fluctuates, or my property taxes just went up $3,000 on each house this year. I mean, all of these things that it's impossible to know when, you know, you're going to end up in the ER and there's your $4,000 copayment for the year, or have to get a car repair. I mean, all these things pop up, divorce, medical issues. There's so many different reasons. And
I call those
up a little bit at night.
Yeah, I call those the critical financial events, and we'll talk about them briefly. But we have Wendy on the line from Colorado. Go ahead, Wendy.
Hi. Hi, Heather. Hi. So my question is, if I have a financial plan in place already, and is it valuable for me to take a step back and review my values and create a vision statement?
Absolutely. If you did not go through the process of having the vision set up first, then go back and go through a vision statement exercise. As I mentioned, you can get it through that book. I'm sure there's some things online that you can find to help you create a vision statement and your value statement. Do that and then look at your plan and see if it needs to be changed to address the fact that it doesn't coincide with your vision or your value statement. That's a real important thing to do. Have you found that your plan sometimes feels out of place for you?
Well, I feel like it's ever changing. It changes a lot. So I feel like I'm always revising it, but it would be helpful for me to, I guess I would say, just to stop and to do that step so I can maybe think more longer term in my plan. That's
exactly right. And so you want to be able to go do your vision, do your values, and then when you tweak your plan, you'll feel that it fits you more, what you're accomplishing.
Great.
Your plan will change over time, though. It shouldn't change that often, but it will change because you'll reach some of your goals, and then you have new goals that you bring up. So there will be some changes, but it shouldn't be as often as I think you're implying.
Yeah, no, that's great. Can I say one more thing about that?
Sure. Sure.
I do find that as marketing, a lot of my revenue depends on products that I'm pitching, and I find that like as the marketing strategies change due to social media changing, I end up finding that I have to be more on top of or more creative about how I'm marketing, which then feeds into my vision.
That's right.
My plan. So that's a factor I've noticed.
So you will measure how you market based on what your values and vision statements are. And that's really the key of what you want to focus on. How do you go? What are my values? Would I market this way? For example, I don't like cold calls, so I don't do cold calls. That's just not something that fits into my plan and my values. I think it's intrusive to people, so I don't do that. So I tie into what's another way for me to market. So those are the kind of things that would make a difference if you knew clearly what your values and your vision statements were. We're up to another break. So, Wendy, if that was your last question, we'll take a break now and go to commercial. Thanks.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534.
Do you know how to tell a great story? In business, the stories you tell play a big role in your success. Whether you're trying to get more clients or influence people as a leader, storytelling will help you do it. Story Powered with Leanne Pico is here to help you activate your storytelling superpower to build a better business and achieve your goals and dreams. Story Powered can be heard live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Conversations concerning money can be a bit daunting. There can be limitations with building wealth, and in general, people don't want to discuss their money. Until now. Listen each week for Conversations with Money, featuring Franco Caligiuri and Marissa Cipollinski. Our guests make money the conversation piece. How to build and maintain wealth, working with charities, and money and family members. Listen every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time,
on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-b-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everyone. We're having a great program, great questions with people calling in. We're discussing vision and mission statements and how important that is to have those personally and not just for your business. And that will help you reach your goals because that gives you clarity on what your goals are. We have another caller online, Janine from New York. Welcome, Janine. Janine, are you there?
Can you hear me? Well,
Heather.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Is this Janine?
Yes. Good morning.
Yes, go ahead. You had a question?
Yes, I wanted to know, how can I replicate this process with young people?
Actually, you can just go through the same process. Obviously, they won't have as much long-term clarity, but we can certainly help them with their shorter term, going to college, perhaps even what they want to study in college. One of the decisions I had to make, that we all had to make, was what we were declaring as a major in college. And that was very difficult for me. I had no idea. And I changed a couple of times. Going through this values exercise will help them with that area and set the foundation for them in terms of how they will go about reaching their goals all through their lives. So I think just doing the exact same exercise, asking them what's important about, it may not be about money, but it's what's important to them about certain achievements. What would they like to see in the future? What's their vision of their ideal future? And just asking those same questions and getting them into thinking about those, because we don't really do that enough with our children.
No, and this is Heather, and Janine, that's a really great question, and it floors me to this day that most high schools don't even teach personal finance. And I know at the University of Texas at Austin, the interns that I have had, across the board, the best class they take is personal finance. And I was helping one college student about 2 weeks ago who didn't know how to pay a Verizon bill, had never given a credit card number over the phone. I mean, these are just real basic. I don't know to what degree we need to start teaching them in youth groups at churches and other places too, but the basic building blocks, I think, have to be taught first, Darlene.
I think that's great. And the other thing is, too many times the parents shield their children from the process of managing money. The ones that I see that do the best are the ones where the parents will actually sit down when they're paying their bills, whatever the process they're going through, and they're explaining it to their children as they go along. And those children are the ones that manage their money best. And when they come in to see me at 20 and 22 years old, they're ready to pump it up. They're ready to do savings. They have avoided getting into debt. And that's a process their parents taught them. So we really need to start as young as we can. The minute they understand money, because they understand it really well, can I have a dollar? Can I have $2? We need to start the process of helping them understand what that is and for them to plan ahead. Let's say they want a certain doll or a certain toy. We start the process of, this is how you're going to accomplish it. We give them an allowance. We need to make sure they get an allowance. Show them how to build up that allowance to save toward that goal. And also, we want to make sure, let's say they're in the store and they're ready to buy it and they don't have enough money. It's a hard lesson, but we need to say, we have to come back. You don't have enough money. That's what we experience as adults. We don't want to go into debt and charge it. So we have to go back and reassess, is this something real important to us? Do we really want to spend this money? Had one family said, this little girl decided, I really don't want to spend my money on that anymore, and she left the store. We can teach the value starting at a really young age.
And this is what floors me. Let's just see. My daughter is age 2. We'll see. Does she even have, does email even exist at age 18? I mean, I know the basic building blocks to teach her in terms of some financial best practices, but I imagine it's going to be such a different virtual world when it even comes to how you pay for things. And let's turn the clock back. What year did women even have the right to sign a check? Wasn't it 1972 or so?
It was something like that. In fact, society groomed us that women were to stay at home, work on the budgets, and the men were the ones that did the long-term planning and the investing. Obviously, as I mentioned last week, that's flipped almost 360 degrees.
Oh, that is. Okay. And glad you mentioned 360 degrees, Darlene. And we've talked about building a financial roadmap. There's another great study that was done. It was a 360-degree assessment by NSED, kind of an executive education program, do a lot of MBAs. They did a very detailed study showing that women tend to outshine men as executives in business in every single area save one, vision. And that's
right.
A really big exception. So you look at the top tiers of management, a few women have made it, but that ability, the envisioning, the ability to see opportunities, to craft strategies based on a much broader 100,000-foot view of business, and then to be able to inspire others. Walt Disney had it. He bought an orange grove in 1954, held a huge press conference describing his vision. People laughed at him. I mean, just laughed that it was going to open in 1 year because they are standing in a field full of orange trees, and it opened 1 week ahead of schedule. And he credited building the castle first because he wanted every single team member and construction worker who was building that theme park to come into work every day and see his vision too, to look at the castle. And not only did they make their deadline, they exceeded it by 1 week.
That's great. Now, Janine, are you still on the line? One of the things I wanted to say is that children are visionaries. And as we grow older, we kind of lose it. So we need to just encourage children to keep, they dream a lot, they talk about things, they'll say, I want to be president, I want to be this or that, and the adults are the ones that take those visions away from them. So we want to keep encouraging our children as they dream and they have ideas of what they want to accomplish. We want to encourage that and not to dampen their spirits. That's one of the things we've got to be real careful of as adults.
And I just wanted to add, going back to what you said, I think it's very important for before college, but definitely by college. I know a couple of students who didn't have the vision plan, took courses, cost the extra money, had to spend extra time, just trying to find out where it is that they're going to major and things like that. And for some of them, you know, they had to leave school because, again, of the finances with the not taking the proper courses in time. So I really think that's a good point, definitely.
Yes, yes, very good. Thank you so much for your call, Janine.
Thank you.
One of the things that after we've prioritized our goals and then we've identified what our supporting resources are, which is real critical, I don't think we do that enough. How do we achieve this and who can help us? We're not on an island alone. We have our support group and we have people that want us to succeed and we have people that can help each other succeed. So we want to make sure we look at those resources, but we also want to be realistic. What are the obstacles? Is this going to be something I can really accomplish? What are the obstacles in my way? So, for example, with Heather, her main thing is to develop the retirement home for musicians. Well, the main obstacle is accumulating the funds to do that. Or maybe it's I need to set up a nonprofit so I can have fundraisers and do different things for that that will create the resources for me. So she's really got to think about all of the issues that are involved in creating that. And perhaps one of the biggest is the timeline. It may be sometimes when you create a goal, you have too short a timeline. Maybe it should be stretched out a little further, and that will reduce a lot of the obstacles that you're going to choose. So that will measure your readiness to move forward on those certain goals. One of the things as a financial planner is we keep you, we're your accountability partner. we keep you honest, so to speak. I have some people that will come in and their goals are so lofty that I want to buy a house, I want to buy a car, I want to send a child to education, but all I can do is save $50 a month. Well, that's not a realistic goal. We have another caller online. It's Brenda. I don't think we have time to take her right now. So what we'll do is take her after the break, and we'll go to commercial right now.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-be-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everybody. We have a caller online, Brenda from Nashville. Go ahead, Brenda, with your question.
I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was wondering how you could help me remotely. I have a financial plan in place, and I'm a few years from retirement. And I was just wondering, should I take a step back and sort of review my values and create a vision statement?
Absolutely. The vision statement will help you clarify if the goals are good goals, and I imagine that's this close to retirement, they are, you may want to clarify what retirement means to you, because that's something different for everyone. And helping you remotely is a little difficult. We could do things on Skype and go through it that way. We can work on the phone, and certainly, as we did with Heather, go through that financial roadmap to help you clarify your goals, because it's a series of questions, and we can certainly do that over the phone if you need. I still recommend that everyone get the book Values-Based Financial Planning by Bill Bachrach. It's a good read, and it's got the financial roadmap in it, so that would be very helpful as well. Congratulations for being so close to retirement.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for the suggestions.
You're welcome. So you can certainly give me a call offline and we can go through some solutions for you on that.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. All right. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Bye.
So Heather, you mentioned that was your mom. So you're very proud of her, I imagine. Heather, I think I lost
Sorry,
my
had
guest.
I had you on mute, but yeah, Mom's got a good financial plan. We've talked through it over the years, but it's certainly not my area of expertise at all.
And that's the other issue that we talk about with all the noise out there. It's real important to work with someone that's objective. I'm going to put it that way. It doesn't have to be a financial planner, but someone that's really objective, that's not going to enable you to do things that you really want to do and not challenge you in the areas of certain goals or making sure that your goals fit in with your values. An accountability partner is what I call it. And that's really what a financial planner is your accountability partner. The reason so many people don't succeed in managing their own money is they're lacking that one piece of the puzzle. Part of your team needs to be that. Of course, you need to have an attorney, you need to have an insurance agent, you need to have, financial advisor, the professionals are out there to steer you in the right direction. So that's really important to have at least to bounce ideas off of. Heather, okay.
Sense, Darlene, real quick as a segue, because in business, the best companies, the best well-run companies I've seen don't just have a CFO. That person is their CFO.
That's
and
great.
I definitely don't have a CFO in my life. And I probably need one.
The other thing a lot of companies have is they have these advisory councils to help them as well. And when you think about how companies succeed and what they have, they A, have the vision statement. B, they have a mission statement. Then they have an advisory council. Shouldn't we as individuals think about having the same things? So who is on your advisory council to help you make your decisions and to keep you focused, which is really what a lot of this is about, is keeping you focused so that you can reach your goals. You want to put together your own team that will help you do that.
I think so. I mean, the internet's a good resource, but that's still not like having a business partner. And I am successful because I have someone to hold me accountable, and I do have a partner in that sense. I've often heard it said, too, that one of the best career decisions you can make, one of the biggest impacts on your career is who you marry, who you choose as your life partner as well. And a long time ago on the internet, I came across a fun program called the Fly Lady System, and it's for cleaning and organizing your house in five different zones and five different weeks. And you do things like turn on music and set a timer, and she'll sell you everything in purple, a purple mop, purple cleaning cloth. And you get your kids to dance to the music and pick up their toys. And there's ways of making it more fun. And so there's a great website that a friend forwarded me called livingwellspendingless.com. livingwellspendingless.com. And they've got a challenge, and you can do it any month of the year for basically 1 month, no spending beyond what your absolute necessities are. So you eat out of your fridge and pantry. Well, that doesn't sound very fun, right? But
right.
Then they list activities for every single day, like having an at-home spa day, refashioning your clothes, making it seem like you're eating out, but making it fun and doing it at home instead. And that's what I need. I need those creative ideas, because that is not my strength either.
You know, that's a very important point. One of the things I think gets in people's way, especially women, is we think this process is boring. Going through the vision and mission statements, working with financial plans. It's not fun, but there's a way to make it fun. A group of you can get together and do the financial roadmap together, talk about what your values are, and really make it a process that works for you. As women, we're very social. And as Heather just mentioned, these other ideas, we can make this a very social type of event as well, in terms of clarifying our vision and our mission and what our goals are and bouncing ideas off each other. Women are very honest as well. So we can talk about, well, Heather, I know you. I don't visualize you doing that. Is that something you really want to do? Where did that idea come from? So we can tie in and do a social type situation to have our vision and mission statements created. That's something that I think we can all benefit from. Heather also shared with me there's a young man at her church who's not a formal financial advisor, but he's working with individuals, helping them to reach their goals. Can you talk about that a little bit, Heather?
Yeah, rephrase the question one more time for me.
The young man that's working with you and working with a lot of your friends that's from your church that's helping them get clarity on their financial goals and really giving them some good ideas, although he's not formally a financial advisor, he's almost like a financial coach for people.
Yeah.
So there's
okay,
there's lots of people out there that can do that.
Yeah, he just seems to have a knack. Like, he took my budget spreadsheet, and I am not good at sticking to a budget. I am much, much better, I have found over the course of my decades, that I'm really great if I have a net worth goal.
Okay.
And I'll track exact down to the penny everything. I'm not great at the budget and sticking to the budget, but it helps me spend less and make better financial decisions if I have a net worth goal in place, to the point that I'm, you know, once I cashed out a whole life insurance policy that was a dumb idea to start with, replaced it with term insurance, and paid off credit card debt. And so I hit my net worth goal very fast that month by doing something like that. And it took some research and time to do those things. Those things do take time. And I don't know. I mean, I listened to this whole process personally, and I think on a business standpoint, one of the things we do very well at Kelleher Communications is focus on what impacts a company's bottom line. And we'll go through with top executive management a peak performance workshop. And very few of us do what that one caller did, Terry, and do it with our employees.
Oh, yeah.
I've never thought to translate it down to the employee level. We do 360-degree reviews and annual evaluations and those kinds of things, but not personal vision statements for an employee. That's a great idea.
That's a terrific idea.
Think about how that can impact the bottom line.
That's right. And that was a very smart decision to do that. That also shows the CFO not only cares about his business, but he cares about his employees as well. And that's critical for having success. And we know that the CFO that serves his staff is one that's going to be successful. What I wanted to emphasize with the point of the young man that's working with you and with others is that it doesn't have to be a formal financial advisor. It just has to be someone that can give you insight on what your situation is and can help you clarify how you're going to reach those goals. So it's very valuable to know that Heather is more a net worth type of individual rather than a budget vision. So then you'd have a conversation with her more in her language that ties into what she can buy into, which will still help her reach her goals and help her focus on the budget, but it's a conversation that's directed toward her. And that's when I'm talking about resources. All of us probably have people out there that can support us in those various ways. We just have to identify what our need is, and that's going right back to what your vision and values are, and then what the obstacles are that are getting in the way, and that will help you identify your need in terms of what kind of help and support we need with respect to that. So that's really valuable to find out, again, what your vision and values tie into. And it's not very complicated. You know, we went through this process, but if you just sit down and just think about and write down what's important to me, period, just start writing. And there's no right or wrong answers because this is you. This is who you are. So you figure out what's important to you and what you want the future to look like. How do you want it to be? Again, just write those down, and then you can back into what your goals are very easily. So Heather, once we went through this process, how will you utilize this, knowing that that ultimate goal is the retirement home? How will you utilize that in today's world in terms of what you're going to do? Is there anything differently that you would do, or will your focus change at all?
It already has made me more focused, even in my business life and personal life, and here's why. When you first asked that question, we met a few days ago. Okay, there's a famous Aristotle quote that comes to mind. The soul never thinks without a picture. One of my favorite quotes, the soul never thinks without a picture. And you asked me that question, and I had forgotten this dream. And the first picture that came to mind was Lily volunteering in this retirement home for musicians and making that a part of our extended village in Austin, Texas. And so that was the picture that came into my mind. Now the picture is, well, vision statements for employees, a family vision statement, things of that nature. So thank you, Darlene.
And one of the things that you really want to do, as Terry emphasized, is put the picture up. Create the picture, put it somewhere in your home or several places, in your bathroom, on the ceiling in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. So when you wake up, you see it. You want to have that picture in front of you as much as you can, and that will keep you focused on reaching that goal. Write it out, put it up, and keep thinking about it, and you'll reach that goal maybe even sooner than you think about it. But you'll give yourself a target and what you want it to be, and then you'll start focusing. And as you mentioned, you change how you work day to day working toward that goal. So we're now coming to the end of our program. I think it was very helpful. I'm so excited, Heather, that you were able to share with me. And thank you to all the callers that have called in. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the common mistakes that are made with insurance and that the fact that we've got to protect our assets as we're growing them. Thank you so much. And we'll talk with you next week. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Darlene.
Thank you for listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. Be sure to join Darlene Gilmore again next Thursday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a super week.